Welcome to the Every Nation New York podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
Good morning, everybody. My name's Shino. I'm one of the pastors on this team here, Every Nation New York and Every Nation New Jersey. Before we get started, I just want to get everybody a little bit of information that Pastor Ron is out traveling today. He's going to be preaching five times down in Florida. He wanted to be here this morning, but he couldn't, so he tagged me a couple weeks ago and asked what I'd fill in, and I said it'd be an honor to come here and serve our Every Nation Church in New York. Pastor Bruce and Pastor Terry on a well-deserved vacation. So I just want to pray for them before we get started. As they go and they come back, they'll come back refreshed, ready to bring the word for next week. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you this morning for this time together. Lord, I just pray for Pastor Ron, Pastor Lynette, Lord, as he's ministering today, give him grace, give him power, give him your anointing, give him strength, Lord, to deliver your word. Lord, also pray for Pastor Bruce and Terry, God, they give so much out to this congregation. Lord, I pray, is there a way that they'd be refreshed, they'd come back encouraged, Lord, to just deliver a great word and message and continue to pastor this great church. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Well, just a little bit about myself. I've been in the ministry with Every Nation almost 18 years. I've known Pastor Ron for 16. I didn't grow up in the church. I grew up in Texas and spent my summers in Tennessee. I went to Penn State University, played my college football there. So I'm an athlete. So, and when I preach, I'm passionate, very passionate about the things that God has done for me and in my life. You know, as not growing up in the church, it was interesting finally getting around people that were for real, people that were serving God, people that were not fake. You know, we got a lot of fake news right now, but I got around some people that walked the walk and talked the talk. They talked it like they walked. And any Migo fans? Never mind. So anyway, I'm just saying they talked it. And so when I got into the NFL, when I got into the league, I played a little bit of pro ball. I bumped into some people that were the real deal. People that love Jesus. They weren't afraid to be different. They love God. I was on the other side for a while, you know, out there doing my thing, running that lifestyle, getting around these guys. You know, when you got money in your pocket, you got access to anything, you kind of go and do what you want to do. And so when you finally rub up against something that's a little bit different, something that's authentic, something that's real, all of a sudden you want to know, what does that person have? And so this guy that was on this team that I played for back in Nashville, I remember sitting in a locker room with him, and he just kind of looked at me. Now, he was the best at his game. He was all pro. That means he was the best at his position at the time. And I was drawn to that because how many people, you like to get around people that are going to take you to the next level. You don't want to get around people that are just kind of going through motions. If you're a CEO in a company, you want to get around the best CEO. If you're in the fashion industry, you want to get around with people that are the best at what they do. If you're in education or you're on the campus, you're trying to find that mentor to take you to the next level. And so this guy was like, man, I want what you have because I see how your game is on the field. But he said, let me tell you something. It's not just about off the field or on the field. It's off the field if you want to stay on the field. He says, man, if you want to make it here, you're going to have to love God. You're going to have to love your wife. You're going to have to love your children. You're going to have to be sold out to God because this room that you're in does not play fair. So when you see that stuff on TV, on the ESPN, and that ticker tape comes by, and you see this NFL athlete for domestic abuse, you see this NFL athlete that wrecked his car and, you know, $1 million whatever he had, and all these things that are going on, they're getting caught up in gunshots and all these things, that stuff's real. And he said, you know what, if you don't want to be a part of that, you need to get your life right. And so, you know, I was like, all right, man, so tell me a little bit about what I need to do. Just like Pastor Nathan or Pastor Bruce or Pastor Brian will tell you to do this. You know, you need to come with me, and maybe we just need to get in this Bible study, and we'll start talking about the Lord. So we were chopping it up. You flowing with me today, right? Chopping. We were discussing some things. And so as we're talking, he began to open up the Bible and begin to talk about sin and salvation, lordship and repentance, things that I never heard of because, once again, I didn't grow up in the church. Mom said, you don't have to go, so you know I wasn't going. But all of a sudden, this Bible began to make sense. This God began to be real in my life. So I made a decision to serve the Lord. And, you know, I remember taking that step, and it's difficult being different. It's difficult. Everybody's doing one thing, but God's calling you to do another. But I also fought some things, too, because God had a call on my life, and I didn't want to preach the gospel. I wanted to continue this lifestyle in the NFL. God says, no, I've called you to preach my word. How many know you can't box with God because God's arms are too long and yours are too short? You're going to lose the fight. And so I responded to the call, and the first 4 years of ministry was on the campuses. I traveled the country preaching the gospel on historically black colleges, universities, and I'm getting down with these guys that don't believe in God on these campuses. For 4 years, I zigzagged across this nation ministering the love of Jesus to college students. Because I was in our headquarters down in Nashville, where Every Nation headquarters is, our national headquarters. As I was there, I was privileged to be around our co-founders. And when they couldn't go somewhere, they would send me to go. And then after that, I was a youth pastor for 6 years. If there's anybody that's ever been a youth pastor, you will die being a youth pastor. 6 years, lifespan is three, I was six. But during that time, I had this opportunity to also be the chaplain for the New Orleans Saints. And I walked them through Hurricane Katrina. And see, when life hits, it don't matter how much money you got in your bank account. It don't care about who you know. Those brothers were sincere. They were like, man, tell us more about this Jesus, because our life is a wreck because of this hurricane. And those men got a vision of doing something great for their city, and they turned it around. After that, I was a lead pastor there in Nashville. Had my own church, and life is good. Everything's up and to the right. And all of a sudden, life hits. I go through something traumatic, which I wish on no man. Pastor Ron Lewis's story is my story. He went through a traumatic experience. I went through a divorce. And that divorce sent me here with my three kids. You have the pictures of my kids up there. Now, these are my babies. These are my babies right here. So I got a 19-year-old that's in freshman college in Monmouth, New Jersey. My son, Nathan, 13, and my daughter, Kaya, she's 16. That's my world. Love my kids. And so I'm here. I'm here all in, ready to serve God and do these things, and that's my family. But now that you know me, now I want to get back into this sermon series. It's called Light of the World. Pastor Ron kicked it off last week. Light of the World. Jesus is the light, and in him there's no darkness. None, zero. And it's funny, when we were getting together doing this sermon series, kind of talking about doing it, that word dark kept coming up, darkness, darkness. You know, I was a little shimmy. I was getting a little scared, because every time I hear the word dark, it gives me flashbacks, because I'm a dark-skinned brother. You know what I'm saying? And I remember when I was a youth pastor, I drive around in this car, and I take my Latino brothers. We're rolling around, and I have to take these kids home, and we had this outreach to this soccer team, and I'm driving, and, you know, they're back there speaking Spanish, and I can't get it, man. I'm trying to get in. Where can I get it? Can I get in on this thing? And you know what? They're like, no, bro, you can't flow with us. So they're going. And then finally, I'm just kind of like, I know how to break in. If I was in your group, what would my nickname be? The guy real quiet. This one in the back said this. That's what he said, B. He said his name would be El Hombre Oscuro. And I'm thinking, oh, man, that's tight. El Hombre Oscuro, what's that? And he said, it means the dark man. And I said, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. I don't feel that. John 8:12, he said this. Jesus said, I am the light, and in him there's no darkness at all. None, zero. Pastor Ron kicked it off. Jesus is the light of the world and loves his creation. He does not want us to walk in darkness. This light, Jesus, affects every area of our lives, every area. There's nothing that Jesus doesn't know. There's nothing that Jesus doesn't see. He sees all, knows all. So this light is coming in your life. But this darkness, he's saying, I don't want you to be in the dark. Jesus never created you and I to walk in the dark. This dark is not good. This dark is ruin. It's things that will ruin your life. This dark is unhappiness. It's not God's best for you and I, this darkness. And then it says this life that he's talking about, it's called Zoe life. This life is life and life more abundantly. It's this joy that's indescribable. It doesn't matter what you get. It doesn't matter what you have. It's nothing better than Jesus Christ. See, the Bible says to taste and see that the Lord is good. And when you taste Jesus, you get a hold of Jesus, there's nothing like it. Nothing. Nothing like it. But you know, Jesus had to leave. He had to leave, and he had to huddle up with his squad, you know, his team. And he had explained to them, hey, look here, guys, one day I have to depart. And there's a reason I have to leave, because I have to send something down to you. See, last couple of weeks we celebrated Easter, and we know that Jesus rose from the dead. But Jesus also had to leave and go sit at the right hand of the Father in power and send down the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. We're talking about light now. We're talking about light. It says this in Ephesians 1, 13. It says, Christ also brought you the truth, which is the good news about how you can be saved. You put your faith in Christ and were given the promised Holy Spirit to show that you belong to God. This Spirit dwelling inside of you, when you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that God was raised from the dead, he says that you will be saved. How many of you know that when you open up your mouth as a sign of confession, a declaration, Jesus Christ is Lord, and you ask him to come live inside of your heart, he'll do it. He'll do it if you mean business. And so when this Spirit dwells inside of you, it becomes a light. And this light can get brighter, and it gets brighter, and it gets stronger. And all of a sudden, what he hates, you begin to hate. And what he loves, you begin to love. So when this light got inside of me, all of a sudden, I didn't want to go to those places that all the brothers was going to. All of a sudden, my lifestyle started to change because I knew I couldn't do it on my own strength. See, I'm going to do this and a bunch of good works, and I'm going to think myself out of my situation. It's not going to work. It never does. Never does. But this power that's in you, this light. And so the scripture verse I have for you, and the title of my message to those that are taking notes, let your light shine. Let your light shine. Matthew 5, 14 and 16 says, you are the light of the world. You, say you. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus said, you are a light. He didn't say you might be. He didn't say you could be. No, he said you are a light. And so we have to think of this. Jesus said we, as disciples, we're followers of him. We're the light of the world. We must not take this light and hide it, but be a light. We got to go out. Anybody like to go out? I know I do. I'm going somewhere. You invite me, here I come. I got invited to this event here. I don't know if my friend's here today, but man, Pastor Adam and I, we're the chaplains for the Jets, and so and there's a lot of players in the area that go out. And they had a birthday party, 35-year-old birthday party. Man said, come to my party. I'm thinking, man, you know what's going to happen in the party. These brothers, some of these people ain't living for Jesus. Oh, I can talk about it, right? You know what I mean? But I got to be a light. So I go to this party. I walk in. Here I am. And they was doing what they do in the party. But you know what? It was such a joy being there because I was there for the people. I wanted to get to know them. I wanted to see what this was about. I wanted to be a light. And you know, so many of those guys were walking up to me, Pastor Shino, man, thank you for being here. I can't believe you came in. You know, yeah, I'm here because I'm here to be a light. Are you being a light for your people and your coworkers? This light that Jesus is talking about has to be two things. It has to be influential, and it has to be welcoming. So when you think about a light, a harbor, a plane, or a light for like a ship out there. And they see those harbor lights. They see that tower, and it's out there, and the waves are bad, and the things are going rough on the sea. Jesus said, a storm will come to your life. And man, wouldn't it be good if I could see a light, if I could see a man or see a woman that, man, if I can just get to them, get to those people, man, maybe my life won't be a storm anymore. Maybe you are out and you hit some turbulence in life. Turbulence are real. You're flying around and you're doing your thing through the city and you're going here and you're going there and all of a sudden life happens. But man, wouldn't it be great if I could see that place where you can land, that landing strip and those lights are up and all of a sudden that loudspeaker comes over and says, hey, we're going to land, it's going to be safe. You know, people are looking for a safe place to land. Is every nation, New York City, a safe place to land? Can people come and put their life with you? Are they going to run into people that like to gossip and talk about stuff and tweet stuff and Facebook their business? No, I need to find a place where I can open up my life and say, hey, this is what's really going on. Now, I need to take off my mask, but I don't need to take off my clothes. There's a difference. Because some people get so caught up in what they used to do and how they used to live, and they're putting their business out, and all of a sudden it can be sound like it's pretty good. No, I'm trying to change. I want to get delivered. I need this light inside of me. I need this light. You know, when I moved here, I remember I was from the South. And down South, everybody goes to church. Church is Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, take off Monday, come back again on Tuesday. I mean, it's church all day, every day. And so when I moved here, and I remember I came into the neighborhood that I live out in Jersey, and I was eager to get everybody to come to church. I was fired up. You going to go to church? Where you go to church? When you're in the South, that's the first thing to ask you. What's your name and where do you go to church? That's their introduction. And so I'm there, and I'm like, man, you go to church? Somebody looked at me, what's church? I said, you know, the steeple and the cross, and no, I go to the Catholic thing down the road. I go to the synagogue. Well, I'm Muslim. I mean, I'm getting hit with all kinds. Oh, Jesus. And the Lord spoke so clear. He says, Shino, you're going to have to be a light. See, you can't talk anymore. You're going to have to walk it. You're going to have to get out there. You're going to have to rub shoulders with people and live the lifestyle. And they're going to have to watch you for a season. And if they can see that you're sincere and see that you're genuine and authentic, maybe they'll let you speak and say something. But you're going to have to serve first. And so if you bring this picture up, my son plays football and I'm a coach. And so, you know, I'm just thinking, man, I'm going to get out here and I'm going to coach these little kids. I about died. Because you know what it costs to speak in somebody's life. It's going to cost you something to be able to open your mouth and tell people about this love of Jesus. And so practice was from Monday to Friday. I work a full-time job just like you, so I get out of work and I'm tired. I want to go home and cut on some Netflix and chill, but I can't do it. And so I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, this football team needs me. And I'm coaching this team, and so I'm like this. If I'm going to break through, I got to send the best to the team. So a lot of these guys that you see up there speaking to these kids are guys that play the game at the highest level. Guys from the Giants, guys from the Jets. And they came in and they spoke truth and love to these kids. And you know what? Those kids lit up. And on this team, I got Muslims. On this team, I have Jewish people. On this team, I got Catholics. On this team, I got people that don't even know God. But you know what? I began to share the love of Jesus through action. See, my first point is people are watching. People are watching you. They could care less about your talk. They want to see your action. And so I'm sitting there, and these people, everybody else was coaching a certain way. I coach kids up. I don't coach them down. I coach them up. I never speak down on a kid because there's life and death in the power of a tongue. You can hurt a kid easily. And after praying at the highest level, I know when it's time to speak truth to kids. And that wasn't the time. But parents were watching. Influential parents, parents that got a lot of money in their pocket, waiting for me to make a mistake so they could kick me out of there. And I sat there and I just loved on those kids and coached them. We started winning. Things were good. All of a sudden, this parent pulls me aside and he says, "Son, you're different. There's something different about you. I can't put my finger on it, but you're different." Of course, everybody goes to the Google and they start Googling the name. Pastor Shino. See, the Bible says in Galatians 5, 22 through 23, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there's no law." See, Jesus said they'll know you by your deeds. Your deeds. They were watching me. And I got invited to a place down here, PS Kitchen, off of 48th and West 48th Street. And when I got there to this event, this young lady was giving her testimony. Her and her husband owned this restaurant. She works for Wall Street. He's a hedge fund guy. I'm just sitting there listening. She's telling this story about how she reaches her coworkers. She can't talk, she can't preach, but she sure can be a light. And she begins to talk about how her and her husband took all the money from this restaurant, and it goes to nonprofit organizations. They don't need money. They're blessed, and how they want to reach their friends. And what they do is instead of talking, they bring their friends out on missions trips. Because everybody wants to help the poor. Everybody wants to help the needy. Everybody's in this social cause, social justice vein. So if I can get outside of the four walls of the church and do something, I'm going to do it. And as they're out there, their hearts are breaking when they see kids, orphans, people that aren't living right. They're breaking. "Why are you out here? Why do you do what you do?" She turns and she says, "It's the love of Jesus. It's the love of Jesus. Jesus is what puts me on an airplane when I could be in a nice office drinking my latte and doing what I do. No, no. Jesus is in me, so I have to go be a light. I got to be a light. I got to be a light." Second point is that when you are in the light and you are a light, you have to stay in it. You have to stay in the light. You know, one of our pastors was a bouncer. Anybody know what a bouncer? You know what I'm talking about. The guy that just kind of holds it down at the door, makes sure ain't nothing going on. If it does break out, I'm going to put my hands on you. And he said his greatest thrill, his greatest joy was at the end of the night to cut the light on and watch women run and try to get their phone numbers back from the guy that they gave it to in the dark, and now they see that he's ugly. He's trying to get it back, but it's too late because you done gave the light and you gave the number to the dude in the dark. He said, "Man, I laugh off. Man, girls cry. Oh, no. Oh, he don't have no teeth. Oh, man, I didn't know." She crying. And I got it. "Sir, I'm so, no, no, it's too late now, girl. I'm locked. You locked in the phone. It's, see you on Monday." Jesus said in 1 John 1, 5 through 6, he says, "This is the message we've heard from him and declared to you. God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." He says we got to walk in the light. We got to stay in the light. There's something about staying in the light. Anybody know anything about those glow-in-the-dark things? You know, where you kind of stick something under a light and it just begins to shine? It kind of charges whatever that thing is up. I bought these shoes, man, and I didn't even know these shoes did this. And so I buy these shoes, and you know how it is when you go buy a gear, man, or whatever. You want the gear that's like, when you put it on, it's like, bang. And when I walk in here, people, "Ooh, well, where'd you get that from?" Yeah, when I got those, I put them on, and I'm walking, you know, and Pastor Ron calls, and he's like, "Yo, you want to go see Black Panther?" I'm like, "Yeah, man, I done seen it like 10 times, but I'll go again." And so we go to the one in Lincoln Center, the Lowe's Theater over there. And so, you know, we get there, we got our popcorn, and we're doing our thing. And all of a sudden, the lights go out, and I got these shoes on. And all of a sudden, I didn't know it did it. But, man, these shoes began to glow. Woo! I was walking through that like, "Oh, what's up?" You see these things, people pointing. "Man, what in the world? Where you get them from?" Light just lighting up. Anybody need popcorn? You know, just trying to be seen. See what I got? See what I got? And see, that's God with us. He wants us to be in the light. But how do you and I stay in the light? See, we have to stay in prayer. We got to stay connected in fellowship. We got to get in the growth track. You got to get in your connect group. You got to stay in the light, because the devil, he loves to keep you in the dark. He loves to keep you away from your brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm telling you right now, if you are walking that way, please do a 180 and come back into the light. Just go ahead and put the devil on blast. Don't be afraid of him. Because once your stuff is out, he has no more power on you. Jesus said there's no guilt or condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Put it out there. Man, if you got something going on, let's go find it. Let's just put it out there and let God deal with it. But don't stay in the darkness. Walk in the light. Connect group, church. When I was a youth pastor, there's this little girl. We used to have these Bible studies in schools. Once again, I'm in the South. And they allow us to come in and minister. And this one school is the most diverse school in the area. And we'd go in, and there was Muslim kids. There's this huge Muslim population. Huge Muslim. I mean, it was amazing to see these young kids in there. And my heart would break for them. And our kids thought they were so tough. Got the little cross on their neck, you know, got the little wonder power bracelet. What would Jesus do? I'm going to go in here. I'm going to win everybody up to the Lord. Telling everybody what they can and can't do. You can't dress that way. You can't go. The kids were like just in the face of these other kids. And finally, this one little Muslim girl, you know, she turned around. And I was sitting right there watching. She said, you know what? Maybe your God is the real God. But until you start doing what he's doing, I'm not going to follow him. And I stepped back and I said, ooh, shots fired. See, the German atheist philosopher Nietzsche, he said this. If he saw more redeemed people, he might be more inclined to believe in their Redeemer. See, we can talk all day that we serve the living God. But Winston Churchill said change is good as long as it's in the right direction. And so change isn't change until we change. Are we really changing? Is there any light in us? Is there anything that's drawing people to say, I want what you have and want what you do? See, either we're living a life contrary to the gospel, or we just flat out don't even believe in God. There's no in between. My last point is this, because we can talk all day, I can preach all day, but the question I have for you is, do you believe? Do you believe that God can change you? Do you believe that God is able to take this light and begin to shine it in you and change you? Do you believe? See, Romans 8:11 says, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. So this same spirit that parted the Red Sea, this same spirit that raised people from the dead, this same spirit that spoke the world into the existence is dwelling in you and I. Do you not think for one moment that it can't change something inside of you that seems unchangeable? There's real power in Jesus. There's real power in the name of Jesus. But do you believe? Do you believe? I can't believe for you. Pastor Ron can't. Nathan can't. Pastor Brian, Bruce, whoever's on this team, this staff, they can't believe for you. You have to believe. See, the Bible says in 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So if you have greatness inside of you, whatever's around you has to change. When you have something powerful inside of you, everything has to change. That light is so radiant. So you got to understand why the woman at the well ran to Jesus and Jesus came to her. That light drew her to him. Why? Because Jesus had no fear of darkness, because he had more power over darkness. See, the woman at the well had no business talking to Jesus, but Jesus didn't care. See, when you got life and when you got light in you, it doesn't matter where you are, who you're dealing with. You'll speak the word in truth, in love, and that man or woman in front of you will change. You think of people like Zacchaeus up in that tree. He's an astute man, Wall Street man, you know, finance, you know, I can't get my stuff dirty, man. But you know what? He was in that tree to see Jesus because of the light. That light was so he could care less. I'm climbing up in this tree. I'm undignified. You can laugh at me. I'll be a fool for Jesus, but I don't care because I need that light. Then you think about Matthew, the tax collector. Tax collectors were just as bad as almost adulterers. They were right one notch underneath because they were tied to Rome and they was taking money and people were tired of it. And you know what? Here's Jesus chilling. Matthew, I'm coming to your house. And the religious folk, the church-going folk, were going crazy. How can you be in an environment like that? Because he's the light. And then you think about Lazarus, dead, 3 days, in the tomb, no coming back. Jesus, the light, shows up. And this is what I want to say. Maybe you feel like your life is dead. Like there's no hope. You know, when I came here, I had no hope. But it was just a little flicker left in me. And this is what I said. I said this. As long as I got faith in my heart and breath in my lungs, I got a chance. I got a chance because all I need is this Holy Spirit to blow once again. And once that thing blows, it's going to ignite. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to begin to do what I used to do. Preach this gospel unashamedly. And you know what that wind blew? And me, Pastor Adam, running around ministering to the Jets. Ministering to people that confront, that are hard, that are tough. But you know what? We're watching these men break. Plant a church in Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania. Come back out here, and I'm stirred up for New York City now. That's why I'm here. Believe in God that this gospel is more powerful than anything in this world. And then when it goes forth, it does not return void. And so, saints, this morning, if your life is dead, you need a miracle. You need something to change on the inside. On the inside. And I'm not worried about to your left or to your right or who you came with this morning. This is about you and God. You and the living God. I'm asking today that as we bow our heads, you would stand to your feet and you're saying, Lord Jesus, resurrect my life. And help me to be the light that you're calling me to be. See, God is a God of power. And it doesn't matter what you've gone through. It doesn't matter what somebody said about you. It does not matter. Because God created you and he cares about you. But just like I said, is do you believe? So with every head bowed and every eye closed, this is your moment. You have to get outside of the thinking, get outside of the self, and just make a bold declaration. Jesus is drawn to faith. Every person I just said he was drawn to their faith. And he wants to draw near to you today. So if you say, Pastor, I have no hope. I've mocked God. He's dealt me a bad hand. And I'm tired. I don't have any strength left to even take a step towards him. But I'm willing to stand on my feet and say, Jesus, I trust your power. I trust your anointing. I trust in who you are and who you say. And you can take my life and turn it for good. The hurt, the pain, the confusion. I'm trusting God today. If that's you, just stand up so I can pray for you as I close this message. And don't be ashamed. Because I've heard it said this way, and I need you to listen real close. If you can't stand in a room like this for Jesus, you'll never be able to stand out there in the world. You'll never be able to do it. You always bow down to the pressure of society. But I hear the Lord saying, I'm looking for some people who are willing to stand up for what's right, stand up for what's true, be the man or woman of God that I've created to be. No longer am I going to be the head or not the tail, but I'm going to be above and not beneath. I'm calling myself to the next level. If that's you this morning, I need you to stand to your feet as a sign of I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm through with the devil pushing me around and telling me what I can and can't do and what I can and can't be. I'm turning from darkness to the marvelous light this morning. April the 15th, 2018 is my day that I draw the line in the sand. And I'm through praying church. I'm through going through the motions. I'm through talking the talk, but I'm going to walk it now. Walking it. I'm walking it. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see every man and you see every woman that is in this room standing. And Lord, I know that it took faith to step up and stand. But I'm asking you this morning, sir, that you would meet these men and women where they need to be met. I declare this morning and decree that no weapon that's been formed against them shall prosper, that it's not going to work, that it's over today. We cancel every assignment of hell against their life. We come against every generational curse. We break it now in the name and the authority of Jesus Christ. I thank you that today is a day of deliverance. Today is a day of breakthrough. Today is a day of things turning from darkness to light. I come against condemnation this morning, where the enemies lied to you and said, you're always going to be like, you're going to be like this, and you'll never get out of it. Oh, you shouldn't have did that. Oh, I thought you was a man or woman of God. I break it now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray this morning that as they begin to believe that as far as the east is to the west, that you've forgiven them for their sin. And I'm going to say this boldly to you this morning. Stop remembering what God has forgotten. Stop remembering what God has forgotten. It's over this morning. Whatever you've done is under the blood of Jesus. Let it go. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. This Jesus is powerful. So, Father, I pray this morning. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. The same work that you did in me, I thank you this morning, you're going to do it in the men and the women here. No longer will they be the same. Now, maybe you say, Pastor, I don't even know this Jesus you're talking about. But I'm here to serve him this morning. I want you to repeat after me, everybody in this room, saved or unsaved, but I want you to open up your mouth and declare and decree that Jesus is Lord. Say this, say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. I ask this morning that you would forgive me for all my sin, anything I've done that's contrary to your word. I repent. It's not right. But today, I give it to you. And I believe that Jesus, you are the Son of God. And I'm asking you this morning to come live inside of my heart. Take your proper place as Lord and Savior. I believe that God raised you from the dead. And now the same Spirit that raised you from the dead is living in me. Strengthen me today to be the man or the woman that you've created me to be. Now give God a hand clap of praise like you believe it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, we praise you this morning. We thank you that the old is gone and the new has come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining us at Every Nation New York City, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the city one life at a time.